Welcome and Sabbath blessing to all the precious family that are joining us in the room. For those that will be listening over any one of the devices, Sabbath blessing everyone on this kind of gloomy and chilly Sabbath on my neck of the wood. I hope and pray that you have good weather where you are at all. This is our part two review of our chapter 67 entitled Woes on the Pharisees. This is our part five. On this Sabbath, October 24th, 2020. Our Tiny Tot song is entitled, A Little Talk with Jesus. You heard it the first time last week. We hope that you may be able to learn it. And if you would like to share it in the room, if you know the little Tiny Tot songs, you can unmute your mic to do so.
A little talk with Jesus makes it right. Alright, a little talk with Jesus makes it right, alright. If naughty or unkind, praise God I always find, a little talk with Jesus makes it right, alright.
Amen, praise the Lord. Welcome to the dear brethren that are joining us. If any one of the little ones, by the help of their parents or their older siblings, would like to open with prayer, may you unmute your mic to do so, dear ones.
Sabbath blessings, everyone. Sabbath blessings, everyone.
Sabbath blessings.
Come on.
Sabbath
blessings, everyone. Say your prayers,
too.
Amen. Amen. I'm going to come and say your prayers, too. Amen. Amen.
This is the section where we ask our dear brother Dick to be able to narrate the review section of our study.
And here we are. It's review time. And if you have any questions, whoops, let me go back to the room to mark my place so that I know where I am. So if any questions come in, I'll be able to find them. And our story of the day today again is, we are not to glory in man. The Lord knoweth the thoughts of the wise, that they are vain or foolish. Therefore let no man glory in men or praise men. And they do a lot of that in this world. 1 Corinthians 3:20-21. We are living in an age of licentiousness. Now, that big word means crude and offensive behavior. If you want to know more, ask your mama to explain it. And men and youth are both in sin, are bold in sin. Unless our youth or children are sacredly guarded, unless they are fortified with firm principles, unless greater care is manifested or shown in choosing their associates, that's the ones you play with, and the literature, or the books and magazines, which feed the mind, which you read, our youth, or children, will meet with temptations on every hand, and they must be educated that they will depend upon higher power, higher teaching, Bible teaching, than can be given by mortals or human beings, or in the schools of the world. There are despisers, or they show disrespect for our Lord and everywhere. Our Lord everywhere, who habitually or always throw contempt upon Christianity. They laugh at religion all the time. Those who have not moral power, if they can't say no to sin, they cannot stand in defense of the truth. They have not courage to say, unless such conversation what's being talked about right now ceases, I cannot remain in your presence. Don't listen to jokes or bad conversation. Jesus, the world's Redeemer, is my Savior. In him is centered my hope of eternal life. But this is the very way in which to silence them. If you argue with them, they will have arguments or their own reasons with which to meet you, and nothing you may say will touch them or cause them to change for the better. But if you live for Christ, if you are firm in your allegiance or loyalty to the God of heaven, you may do for them that which argument will fail to do. It may convince them of the truth. Do you remember the story of the three Hebrew boys in Babylon that refused to bow to the image? They didn't argue. They just bore witness to the God of heaven. And a lot of people heard the truth that day. There is no sadder spectacle or sight than that of those who have been purchased or redeemed by the blood of Christ, who have been entrusted with talents wherewith they may glorify God, turning to jest or making fun of the messages graciously sent them in the gospel, denying the divinity of Christ or saying, Jesus was only a good man, he was not God, and trusting to their own finite or human reasoning, and to arguments that have no foundation or no truth. When tested with affliction or suffering, they are brought face to face with death. When brought face to face with death, all these fallacies or false ideas they have cherished or believed will be melted away like frost before the sun. The Christian hope is as an anchor to the soul, both sure and steadfast, or lasting as heaven. The Lord knoweth the thoughts of the wise, that they are vain or foolish. Therefore, let no man glory in men, or we shouldn't praise other men. 1 Corinthians 3:20-21. Now let me go back and see if we have any questions here in El Cuarto.
Brother Dick, I have a question.
Yes.
In the world, as it brought out in the study, in the world that we live in today, where men are so... where men are so greatly revered, and is taught all around us, from we're young to adulthood, to glorify the things that we see happening around us. What is the counsel to the younger children growing up, even the smallest ones that are here, in order to kick against that teaching? Because it's very prevalent. Everywhere you go, whether or not you are watching the TV or reading the magazines or doing anything, it could just be a stroll down the street and you're hearing, or it's all around.
First off is the example of the parents. And if they are Christians, the children will never hear their parents praising somebody who is great, supposedly, in the world's eyes. It's like the Hollywood stars. They do their thing and they go through their actions and their... play their parts in a movie, and then the rest of people stand around and say, oh, you did such a great job. You deserve an Oscar, an Emmy, or some other prize. We are not to spend time eulogizing or saying how great someone is. As you read through the Bible, you won't find the Lord praising humans anywhere, and he's our example.
Thank you.
Yes. I don't think I found any questions here in the room. What am I going to do? How do I answer if there's no question? How do I know what you need to know? I guess we'll find out. Okay, I'll give it back to Rose. She has something to say. Thank you for listening.
Amen. Thank you so much, dear brother. There is also a very good book from the Spirit of Prophecy. It's called Child Guidance. There's an area where it will give detail, not only for the people in the outside in the world, but also within the same household and the body of believers. And that will be able to be a good tool as well. So a blessing to all the dear brethren that are just joining us. Our opening hymn to our theme is entitled Wonderful Word of Life. And if any one of the dear brethren would like to join in the hymn, you can unmute your mic to do so. I apologize, I was looking for my paper. Sing them all over again to me, wonderful words of love. Let me more their beauty see, wonderful words of life. Words of life and beauty, teach me faith and duty. Beautiful words, wonderful words, wonderful words of life. Beautiful words, wonderful words, wonderful words of life.
Christ the Blessed One gives to all wonderful words of life. Sinner, listen to the love and call, wonderful words of life. All so freely given, wooing us to heaven. Beautiful words, wonderful words, wonderful words of life. Beautiful words, wonderful words, wonderful words of life. Thank you, Abba.
Sweetly echo the gospel call, wonderful words of life. Offer pardon and peace to all, wonderful words of life. Jesus, only Savior, sanctified forever. Beautiful words, wonderful words, wonderful words of life. Beautiful words, wonderful words, wonderful words of life.
Thank you, Daddy.
Amen. Thank you so much, dear brethren. If any one of the little ones, mommies or daddies, would like to open with prayer, may you unmute your mic to do so, dear ones.
If we could all kneel and bow our heads and our hearts, come humbly before our Godhead. Gracious and Heavenly Father, as we come before you once more to give you all honor and praises, thank you so much again for waking us up this morning. Thank you for calling us forth. Thank you for being with us throughout this week, dear Father. Thank you for bringing us through. I know many of us may have had trying weeks, and some weeks maybe went better. But I pray, dear Father, that you please continue to be with us. Forgive us for our sins and our iniquities and our shortcomings. Please be with each and every one of us that are here today. Be with those that will be listening to the recording at a later time. Also be with those that are sick and shut in, that may not be able to be with us for whatever reason, dear Father. Please, I pray, send your heavenly angels to encamp about each and every one of our dwellings to protect our going out and our coming in. Be with those, brethren, that used to be in fellowship but are not here anymore for whatever reason it may be. Keep their minds and their hearts stayed upon you and give them an awakening, dear Father. I pray that you will be with us as we partake of your heavenly manna, dear Father. Help us to be nourished. Help us, dear Father, to be revived by the word, to be able to go out and share it, dear Father, as we have received it, and to search for it ourselves, dear Father. Help us to do all according to your will and your mercy and your grace, dear Father. We thank you and we love you for all things. In no other name than Jesus Christ, our blessed Redeemer, we pray. Be with all of the participants. Trouble their hearts and their minds and their spirits and not be afraid to speak up, dear Father, because we can only water and be watered here. We thank you and we love you. In no other name than Jesus Christ, our blessed Redeemer, we pray. Amen.
Amen. Praise the Lord. Thank you so much, dear sister. Our opening verse for our review lesson, the scripture song from Micah chapter 6, verse 8, King James Version. He has showed thee, O man, what is good, and what the Lord requires of thee, but to do justly and to love mercy and to walk humbly with thy God. So what have we learned in ways we have grown this week? Before we hear your questions, your comment, or anything you would like to share with your dear family, we are going to take 15 minutes or maybe 20 to be able to reread our part one from our lesson, Woe on the Pharisees, part 5 in our study book, Desire Ages. If any one of the dear remnant family would like to take the first paragraph, may you unmute your mic to do so, dear ones.
Desire of Ages, page 616. Woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for ye pay tithes of mint and anise and cumin, and have omitted the weightier matters of the law, judgment, mercy, and faith. These ought ye to have done, and not to leave to other undone. In these words, Christ again condemns the abuse of sacred obligation. The obligation itself he does not set aside. And on the next slide. The tithing system was ordained by God, and it had been observed from the earliest times. Abraham, the father of the faithful, paid tithes, and all that he possessed. The Jewish rulers recognized the obligation of tithing, and this was right. But they did not leave the people to carry out their own convictions of duty. And on the slide, it shows Melchizedek and Abraham, and it says Abraham apportioned a tenth part of all the spoils. Amen.
Desire of Ages, page 616. Continue. Arbitrary rules were laid down for every case. The requirements had become so complicated that it was impossible for them to be fulfilled. None knew when their obligations were met. As God gave it, the system was just and reasonable, but the priests and rabbis had made a wearisome burden. Desire Ages, page 616, paragraph 3.
This is Sabbath. We're reading from the Desire of Ages, page 617. All that God commands is of consequence. Christ recognized the payment of the tithe as a duty, but he showed that this could not excuse the neglect of other duties. The Pharisees were very exact in tithing garden herbs such as mint, anise, and rue. This cost them little, and it gave them a reputation for exactness and sanctity. Next slide, please.
The Desire of Ages, page 617. Continuing, at the same time, their useless restrictions oppressed the people and destroyed respect for the sacred system of God's own appointing. They occupied men's minds with trifling distinctions and turned their attention from essential truths. The weightier matters of the law, justice, mercy, and truth were neglected. These, Christ said, ought ye have done, and not to leave the other undone. Desire Ages, page 617, paragraph 1.
Desire of Ages, page 617. Other laws had been perverted by the rabbis in like manner. In the directions given through Moses, it was forbidden to eat any unclean thing. The use of swine's flesh and the flesh of certain other animals was prohibited, as likely to fill the blood with impurities and to shorten life. But the Pharisees did not leave these restrictions as God had given them. Next slide, please. They went to unwarranted extremes. Among other things, the people were required to strain all the water used, lest it should contain the smallest insect, which might be classed with unclean animals. Jesus contrasting these trivial exactions with the magnitude of their actual sins, said to the Pharisees, "Ye blind guides, which strain at a gnat and swallow a camel." Psalm ages 6:17, paragraph 2.
Continuing the reading. Go ahead, Titi Gracie.
And continuing. The Desire of Ages, page 617. Woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for ye are like unto whited sepulchres, which indeed appear beautiful outward, but are within full of dead men's bones and all uncleanness. As the whited and beautifully decorated tomb conceals the putrefying remains within, so the outward holiness of the priests and rulers concealed iniquity. Jesus continued. Desire of Ages, page 617, paragraph 3.
And continuing, woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, because ye build the tombs of the prophets and garnish the sepulchres of the righteous, and say, if we had been in the days of our fathers, we would not have been partakers with them in the blood of the prophets. Next slide, please. Wherefore ye be witnesses unto yourselves that ye are the children of them which killed the prophets. To show their esteem for the dead prophets, the Jews were very zealous in beautifying their tombs, but they did not profit by their teachings, nor give heed to their reproofs. Desire of Ages, page 617, paragraph 4, and on the slide it says, O Jerusalem, Jerusalem, you that kill the prophets. A little small.
Sorry, sister. O Jerusalem, Jerusalem, you that killed the prophets and stoned them which are sent to you. Matthew 23, verse 37.
Thank you, Titi.
You're welcome, dear sister. Praise the Lord. So let us consider our scripture from 1 Peter 3:15 on the King James Version. But sanctify the Lord God in your hearts, and be ready always to give an answer to every man that asks you a reason of the hope that is in you with meekness and fear. And with that said, dear ones, so what we have learned and ways we have grown. Now we will leave the mic open for any one of the dear children to be able to answer their questions. Being that we already know that the scene was in the courtyard, we are going to ask, who is the main character or characters in this part 5 of our study?
It was Jesus and the scribes and Pharisees.
So what is the main idea for this section of our story?
The main idea is the importance of tithing. Not as the scribes and the Pharisees would have it, but for the intention that it was done. And this was done from the earlier days that was mentioned in the study, from the days of Abraham and Melchizedek.
Thank you so much. Praise the Lord. And we have also from our dear Garay family, The hypocrisy that the Jewish rulers manifested, it was an appearance of piety, but they rejected the efficacy of the piety in their lives. Amen. And continuing number three, where did the story take place?
By the treasury in the pillar of the temple.
It was still there. Amen. So when did the story begin?
When Jesus rebuked the Pharisees for their wrongdoings.
Amen. We also have from the Garay family in the temple, the last day of Christ's teaching in the temple. Amen. Welcome to our dear brethren that are joining us. We have the number four. When did the, number five. How could you relate to the story, dear ones?
Could relate to the story by saying that the temple in which the Lord wants to reside, which is us, we are to keep it clean both inside as well as outside and not have just an outward show. Because it's truly the inside that really matters.
Anybody else would like to be able to share in the answer to that question?
Also, piggybacking off of what our dear sister Cerisa said, I believe the scripture that says, I'm not sure where it is, but it says, render your heart and not your garment goes along with that.
Thank you so much, dear sisters. Is there anyone else who would like to be able to share on the answer to that question of number five?
And also learning, I forgot to add, the importance of tithing, to give 10% of everything that we have, because everything that we do receive comes from God. So we have to give back God a 10% or more of what we have.
Amen. So the last question is, what did you learn from the lesson? In your own words, if you would like to use the mic, or you could be able to text it in the room.
I've learned to be a cheerful giver. Not to worry about not having enough for the next day, but to give what I have, and the Lord will continue to bless my efforts.
I learned that we should use the tithe system and obey the laws of God the proper way, and never use any sacred obligations for personal gain.
Amen. Thank you so much, dear ones, for your participation. I would like to share a thought on one of the readings of our devotional. It's called My Guide and Pilot. The heading of the scripture is Psalms 32, verse 8, and it reads, I will instruct thee and teach thee in the way which thou shalt go. I will guide thee with my eyes. If any one of the dear brethren would like to take one of the paragraphs, you can also unmute your mic to read. Often the Christian life is beset with dangers, and duty seems hard to perform. The imagination pictures impending ruin before, and bondage and death behind. Yet the voice of God speaks clearly, go forward. Faith looks beyond the difficulties and lay holds of the unseen, even the omnipotence. Therefore, it cannot be baffled. Faith is the clasping of the hands of Christ in every emergency. And that is paragraph two. If any one of the dear virgin would like to take the next paragraph, may you unmute your mic.
Every ship sailing the sea of life needs to have the divine pilot on board. But when storms arise, when tempests threaten, many persons push their pilot overboard and commit their bark into the hand of a finite man to try to steer it themselves. Then disaster and wreckage generally follow, and the pilot is blamed for running them into such dangerous waters. Do not commit yourselves into the keeping of men, but say, "The Lord is my helper. I will seek his counsel. I will be a doer of his will." It is as impossible for us to receive qualification from men without the divine enlightenment as it is for the gods of Egypt to deliver those who trusted in them. Do not trust yourself to men. Act under the divine guide. Faith I Live By, 100, paragraph 3.
You have been chosen by Christ. You have been redeemed by the precious blood of the Lamb. Plead before God the efficacy of that blood. Say unto him, "I am thine by creation. I am thine by redemption. I respect human authority and the advice of my brethren, but I cannot depend wholly upon this. I want thee, O God, to teach me. I have covenanted with thee to adopt the divine standard of character and make thee my counselor and guide, a party to every plan of my life. Therefore, teach me. Let the glory of the Lord be your first consideration. Let every act of your life be sanctified by a holy endeavor to do the Lord's will, that your influence may not lead others into forbidden paths. Amen."
Amen. Praise the Lord. Thank you so much, dear brethren. And we also have a poem section for the rest of the family. It's entitled, "Guide My Ways." This is taken from Family Bible Lesson Year 2, Quarter 2, Lesson 4, page 108, from the Children Activity Book from the Sunlight Education Ministry of Homeschooling for the Bible. If anyone of the dear brethren would like to take one of the paragraph, may you unmute your mic, dear ones.
Oh, that the Lord would guide my ways, to keep his statutes still. Oh, that my God would grant me grace to know and do his will.
Oh, send thy spirit down to write thy law upon my heart, nor let my tongue indulge deceit, nor act the liar's part.
Conduct my footsteps by thy word, and make my heart sincere. Let sin have no dominion, Lord, but keep my conscience clear. Amen.
Make me to
walk in thy commandments. 'Tis a delightful road, nor let my head, nor heart, nor hands offend against my God. Thank you.
Amen. Praise the Lord. If you have any testimony that you would like to share, if you have any story, you may be able to unmute your mic, dear ones. Our closing hymn is the same hymn from our opening, but in Spanish. Oh, cántamelas otra vez, bellas palabras de vida. Haya en ella mi gozo y luz, bellas palabras de vida. Si de luz y vida son sostén y guía, qué bellas son, bellas palabras de vida. Qué bellas son, bellas palabras de vida. Jesucristo a todo da
bellas palabras de vida. Oh, escucharlas, pecador, bellas palabras de vida. Bondadoso te salva y al cielo te llama. Qué bellas son, qué bellas son, bellas palabras de vida. Qué bellas son, qué bellas son, bellas palabras de vida. Grato el cántico sonará, bellas palabras de vida. Tus pecados perdonará, bellas palabras de vida. Si de luz divina son sostén y guía, qué bellas son, qué bellas son, bellas palabras de vida. Qué bellas son, qué bellas son, bellas palabras de vida.
Thank you, Dad. Dear ones, next week we will continue with our part 6 of our lesson entitled Woes on the Pharisee in our study book, Desire of Ages. If any one of the dear family, little ones, mommies, or even our guests would like to close with prayer, may you unmute your mic, dear ones.
If we could all kneel and bow our heads in our hearts. Our Father, we thank you for letting us be able to have this blessed day. We thank you for letting us be able to wake us up this morning. Thank you for every good thing that you helped us with these past days. We move this now as we move on to the next study. Let us be able to keep on cherishing all the lessons that we learn in our hearts and our minds. Let us be able to always keep in mind that you will always be there to be our guide and be our helper. Protect us where we go, whatever we do. Let us be able to keep on showing mercy and compassion and love. Let us keep on doing whatever we can and helping as many people who need to know thee or who wish to know thee. Let us be able to always cherish the lessons that we learn and never forget them. Let us be able to always put thee first above everything we know and everything we care of. We pray that you may keep us in good health and in good condition. Bless of all the temptations that the devil may use against us. Help us also to avoid things that may do us harm, that we may not be harmed spiritually or physically. Be with us wherever we go and keep us safe from and out of harm's way. Let us always cherish every lesson that we learn concerning thee and to keep in memory even when there are difficult days. We love you, Lord God, looking forward to making all any promises. This is my prayer. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
In Jesus' precious and holy name, amen. Thank you so much, dear Father Josh. So next Sabbath, we will have our lesson 316. From our chapter 67, this is going to be part 6, and that will be held October 31st, 2020. I hope and pray all of you were blessed, dear ones, and may you have a blessed rest of the Sabbath.